As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you, besides cold?
Good afternoon. I'm fine. Thanks so much. Yeah, we're weathering through a little lower temperatures than usual, but it'll even out on, it'll average out, I suppose, in the long run, won't it?
I don't know. I'm you know what I'm done doing? I'm tired of looking at the 10-day forecast because I'm convinced it's just averages from last year. So when I was looking at it for this week, last week, I don't remember having 4 of the 5 days in the 40s. That wasn't there. So you know what we do? It's like gas prices. We tie our shoe a little tighter. We bite our lip a little bit more. We make sure we wear a jacket. And you just got to deal with it, right?
It'll be okay. It reminds me of that old economist who said, well, you know, you can drown in a stream that's 3 feet deep on average. Because if it's 8 in the middle, you're anyway. So
we'll
get through on average, but it can be cold.
It can be. We just would prefer for it to be warm. And, well, let's start with weather. Let's start with outside because, as we learned earlier, what was that today, yesterday, all these days are running together. On Monday, we learned that, you're going to be back. Mayor at the Market is returning to the Bloomington Community Farmers Market. So that's two great things. The Farmers Market is returning, and you're returning to it. When do we get started? I want to say it's this Saturday. Do you have any weather concerns, or are you just going to just floor it and let's go?
No bad weather, just bad clothes, right? No, we'll be there, rain or shine. The Farmers Market opens the 2022 season this Saturday at 8 a.m., I believe, Saturday downtown at the City Hall parking lot. And I'm going to be there for a chunk of time, probably 10-ish. And my deputy mayor is going to be there 10 to noon for Mayor to Market with Don Griffin. And I'm happy to run into people. And if you don't catch us that day, we're going to try to have a cabinet department head or a deputy mayor or a mayor every Saturday just to be able to check in and tell us what you think and give us your advice. So, and also it's a great place to be Saturday morning. So come on down.
Is it true you're passing out free hand warmers, or is that just a rumor?
That's a rumor. I'm not going to come. That's a rumor.
You'll keep it warm. You'll keep it heated up. 8 o'clock. So it does start. The season kicks off on April 2nd. And I know you don't have all the materials in front of you, but this will be the first market in, 2 years where we don't have entry restrictions or traffic flow this or that? Are you sold out, ready to go? How is everything looking before everybody's going to have to go down and look for themselves on Saturday, but are you excited to get back to normal?
Oh, it feels so good to be able to welcome people back. Now, I will say usually the April market is it's kind of a one-month intro, spring training, if you will. You know, it's not some of the vendors come in May just because of weather and their own production and all. But it'll be busy. There'll be a lot of people there, and I encourage you to come. And what a good feeling it'll be to be able to wander through the stalls and see old friends and enjoy the farmers market again.
Now, we know the trail behind the parking lot, that's still cut off because of the Johnson Creamery Tower situation. So some things will be a little different, but you've got a brand-new parking garage down there on 10th Street you've never had before, and you've got parking garages downtown. So there's plenty of room for everybody now.
Yeah, there should be lots of opportunity to do that. I am sorry that trail is still detoured for just 200 feet or so, just trying to make sure everybody's totally safe with a leaning tower of Johnston's smokestack. But that should get resolved soon, we hope, and it won't interfere with the market. So
very cool. But yeah, safety first. So let's make sure we're doing that. And obviously, the 2 years since we've had the market proper back into it, there were obviously some issues we had with freedom of speech and otherwise. Has that all been solved, fixed, cleaned up, rules and regulations? If people are curious of where that stands, Mayor Hamilton, can you help us out?
Yeah, you know, that was the Constitution hasn't changed, so we're still as this for folks who are interested in that. This is a public place, and we have a particular area of the market where we encourage vendors who want to come and talk about political issues. There's kind of information alley that we have, and that's available for folks to do that. Then in the vendor space, we have people who are selling fruits and vegetables, and that all the rules are the same. And, you know, look, this is a complicated, challenging country sometimes, but one of the things we really believe in is letting free speech reign, which it does in Information Alley, and letting, having the government otherwise stay out of your own beliefs and speech. So that's still the case. The Constitution still covers what we do, and we're going to keep doing what we've been doing.
And the other part of this year's a little different is there will be security on site. Any reason it's security and not the police department? What was the decision-making process on that?
You know, that we always have had security around or available as needed with different kinds of events and different intensity of people. And I think really it was up to the Parks Department working with the police department to take a path. We have used security from the Parks Department, separate from the police department before. We've done
right.
that with Switch Yard and some on the B-line, and I think they've just decided that works pretty well, and the police department's, you know, busy with lots of things, so we'll give this a try and see how this works.
So if you're wondering if how that will be, well, there's the answer. These are popular questions I get on the street from folks. Hey, how's this going to work? Hey, what are we doing here?
Sure.
And I said, you know what? I've got the exact person I can ask all this, and it's Mayor Hamilton. He joins us every Tuesday. We record our conversations as well. So if you're late to the party, you can always go back and take a listen. So very exciting times. The Farmers Market does open this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we know that that'll be a very busy place during those hours, setting up and tearing down as well, and plenty of room to get through there. Dress warmly. Oh, yes, dress warmly. We'll get it started coming up this week. You know what? Just for you, I'm going to hit refresh. And when I hit refresh, usually good things happen. Saturday's forecast will be, that would be Saturday, April 2nd, 52 and 37. Okay. That's a lot better than what we've had. Cloudy in the morning, showers during the afternoon, so hopefully we'll get everything in and ready to go. That is much better than 41 feels like 32 or whatever we're dealing with today. So when people come to see you at the market, this is very informal. They just walk right up to the booth and say, hey, Mr. Mayor, I want to know if we have security here, and boom, it's like doing their own talk show, right?
It's just informal. They can ask about anything, share ideas, you know, whatever. It's just a chance to catch up, and it is really nice too, since we haven't been able to do it for a long time. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, get the finger back on the pulse of the community and see what's going on there. Like and follow the Farmers Market on Facebook. Why, if there are any weather issues, which we know we'll have to deal with, and they have a weekly newsletter as well. You can find all that bloomington.in.gov. No Food Truck Friday. We just want to remind people that we're getting everybody excited for Farmers Market Saturday. Food Truck Friday will return on Friday, April 8th, and make its debut. And the great news about Food Truck Friday, Mayor Hamilton, we talk about how the Farmers Market is getting back. Food Truck Friday will be at Switch Yard Park every Friday. We really haven't had a summer yet where we've had a chance just to blow out Switch Yard Park and use it for all its great intents and purposes.
You know, I was there last night. It was busy for an event. I was talking to Paula McDevitt, our terrific parks director, and she said it was blowing out that warm Saturday a couple Saturdays ago. So I do hope people will continue to be able to enjoy it. And I love Food Truck Friday. It brings people down, and what a nice way to cap off a busy week, right?
Yeah, and we'll get into some of those details when we get closer to next Friday, because that's been postponed. And that's another thing, being an outdoor event, we'll have to continuously watch the weather on that. But the city's going to put on some music, might have a little beer garden festivities as well that will start in the summertime. So We'll get those details as we get closer and closer to that excitement. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest every Tuesday just after 4:05. We get caught up with the mayor's office, and you have plenty of things happening. We do have a little breaking news today as the press release came out right before we talked to each other. The city, that's the city of Bloomington, files lawsuit challenging constitutionality of statute voiding sewer contracts. All right, that's a long headline. I'm glad you're here for the explanation.
Yeah, so we've talked about annexation a few times. The process of right-sizing our city, from my perspective. And as you know, I think we've talked about there's a couple big areas on the west side after all the process went through that are headed to court to decide kind of whether the annexation makes sense or not. Then this lawsuit, which we did file today, is basically addressing the action the state legislature took in 2019. So in 2017, the state legislature illegally stopped our annexation, which would have been done by summer of 2017. It took us 3.5 years of litigation to get that agreed to by the Supreme Court that said they did violate the law to do that, the Constitution. In the meantime, in 2019, the state legislature passed another law that said old sewer waivers, those are the contracts, and I won't go too much into the detail, but that older waivers are void. And what that did for us, since we hadn't annexed for a while, was it took the big majority of the parcels in our annexation area had sewer contracts where they agreed to be part of the city in the future. So we have sued to say that action, too, like the 2017 action, that action also was unconstitutional and made the annexation very different from what it should have been. So that's going to go in front of the courts. I wish I didn't have to do it. It's a kind of a repeat of the episode we saw before, in my perspective, of a legislature kind of reaching down and interfering with a regular process. But now it will go in front of the courts, we think, and that'll get worked out on whether that action was appropriate by the state legislature.
Now, the million-dollar question. You just told me the last time you got involved with court filings took you 3.5 years. What would be the timeline, if you can give me a guesstimate on that, for this time around? Do the courts have to work this in any timeline, or is it whenever they get around to it? I know you are the expert in the legal field.
Well, the wheels of justice do turn slowly sometimes. We know they're deliberate. I do expect this to take. It won't be quick, I don't think, but we hope it won't take that long as the last one took. There are not very many factual issues. It's not a very complicated case in the sense of who said what and what happened and such. It's all pretty straightforward. It's just a question of whether the power to change this process existed in the state legislature or not. And I hope it'll get resolved quickly, but I've had to be a patient man in annexation, Mike. We started this in 2017, and it's 5 years later, and we're not done yet. We should have been done back then, but I take it seriously because I do think it's important for the city to continue to grow its boundaries as we have for 200 years, and we got to let the courts figure this one out, and it'll take a little time, so we can check back in on it every few months, probably.
Gotcha. Because for those of us who don't understand the legal process, you've chosen to file suit. You file that suit in a court. Do you go on a waiting list? How does your case come? Is it like waiting at the deli? Now serving 47. So, for people that don't understand that,
I think it kind of is. You get your line. This is not, you know, sometimes there are cases that are like a preliminary injunction or a temporary restraining order that's got an emergency, something's going to happen over the weekend, and can you have a parade or not, that kind of thing. This is not that kind of case. So we will basically be in line with the courts, and they'll docket it for us, and we'll be waiting our turn, and hopefully it'll happen relatively soon.
Well, from what I understand talking to you and reading about this, there is no other recourse except to pursue this through the courts, right? There's no one to mediate with. These are laws on the books of the state of Indiana that that's what it is. Do I have that understanding correct?
You do, and the basic concept is it's in the state constitution, it's actually in the federal constitution as well, is that a legislature cannot interfere with contracts. The notion being that you can't have a state legislature that can, or a federal Congress that says, hey, we want to change the law that two parties entered into a contract previously, and we're going to change that contract. So the notion of the contract is what's at stake, and the contract involved here was years ago, a developer may have said, I'm going to build 30 houses here, and I need sewer service because we can't do it on septics, it's too dense, and the city said, okay, we will provide you sewer service even though you're not in the city, but in exchange, you're going to agree that when it's time, when you're built out and when the neighborhoods around you are full, we're going to annex you, and you agree not to contest the annexation. So that's the contract that's involved here, and our view is that the state, nor the under state or federal constitution, the legislature can't come back and say, oh, you know that contract you agreed to do, we're going to change the rules. And so that's what this will be about.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in with us every Tuesday afternoon, and we keep our eyes and ears on what's happening in city business. And you're looking for people in the boards and commissions, and one of those boards and commissions is very important. It is the Redevelopment Commission. I'm getting lost here. Was the Redevelopment Commission the one that we're trying to...
Yep, that's okay. One of those.
That's one of those, okay.
You got it. We have about 47 of them or something, so it's not surprising that, you know, we've always got openings and difference. But the Redevelopment Commission is a really important five-member commission that oversees the tax increment finance work. They're, for example, the entity that actually paid for Switchyard Park in great amount because it was using tax increment financing. And they help redevelop and invest in public infrastructure, like a park, or sometimes they did a lot of work in the trades district or garages or other things like that.
Excellent. And we're talking about tax increment, TIF, right? TIF?
Yes.
Catalent? Wasn't that a thing where are we there? Are in the timeline, Catalent's still bidding that out or trying to figure out where they're going to expand? I know you were a big believer in that. You presented it to the city council. Where are we on hearing something or nothing on this?
Yeah, we haven't got the formal word yet. We hope it may be soon on whether Catalent will make a major investment here in town to expand employment and their operations, but you're right that the tax increment financing can help build infrastructure for a road or for public infrastructure in other ways. It's really kind of complicated, arcane tax stuff, but it's basically you can set up a district so that the incremental investment, the incremental assessed value that goes into a district, the taxes associated with that incremental investment can be segregated and used to further the infrastructure in a particular area. So like many cities, we have a couple TIF districts, tax increment finance districts, that the Redevelopment Commission formally oversees.
Yeah, so if you want to join up and get into that sausage making, oh man, that's real local government, isn't it? That's where stuff happens. That's where we get after it. And yeah. The other part, speaking of taxes, your presentation to the city council about moving forward, we went into that, I believe, either last time or the time before we spoke. You're going to have some meetings coming up to get everybody involved with that, I think, if you have those dates in front of you. If you don't, I think that's interesting because people hear tax dollars and they think, and who pays taxes? Well, citizens pay taxes. So, they probably want to know about all that.
Sure. We've talked about it here, and then last Friday I had a session in front of City Council, a work session, to talk with most of them about it. The next formal public session will be a week from Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, the 6th of April. I'll present to City Council in the evening at 6:30-ish. But I would say this, in the meantime, we welcome viewpoints. People can go online, you can get on the city website, look for revenue, look for the button about new revenue, and there's a survey you can take formally or informally as you wish. We welcome your views on that. We've had dozens, scores of people doing that already. And you know, as I said last time, we have, as a city, we have high ambitions and not full ability to invest in those. It often surprises people to learn that the county of Monroe and the local income tax is done at a county level. The county of Monroe has the lowest income tax of all seven counties that touch us, including us, six surrounding counties and us. We have the lowest income tax rate, and we're actually in the bottom quarter of the state if you look at all 92 counties. So we have a very low tax jurisdiction that has really is inhibiting our ability to invest in public safety, to invest in affordable housing, to invest in the transit system and job readiness and other things like that, basic services. So I've made a proposal for that, and it'll be up to the city council to review, as well as other councils. County council, the Eltsville council can review that as well and vote on it.
Excellent. So that gives everybody an update of what we're doing and where we're going. And as you mentioned, bloomington.in.gov, you cannot miss it. If you go to the front page, there it's hiding there in broad daylight for everyone to see. There's five blue boxes: new revenue, state of the city 2020, recover forward, COVID-19 updates, and annexation. So if you want the big hitting topics, you don't have to go through there with a fine tooth comb. They are out there and ready to go from the news department. And speaking of COVID-19, briefly, I know you had a couple cases last week. It's just now, are we in the stage of we're just going to kind of endemic and live with this? I know the county is closing its testing site. It's going to be appointment only moving forward. And it's kind of good news, bad news? Or where do we stand? Are you still meeting with your group every now and again?
Well, it is basically trying to mainstream this, I think, as the healthcare system wants us to get our vaccines and our testing and all done basically through our normal healthcare system rather than an exceptional one. And that's a good sign that we can do that. You know, I'm hopeful, but I'm not. We shouldn't be declaring victory yet. As you indicated, we had a week of zero cases, then we had a week of one case, then we had a week of two cases. So I don't like that. I hope this week won't see any other increase, and I hope it'll be a decrease. That's among our own employees. But obviously the numbers are improving a lot dramatically since last winter, and we hope that will continue. And that means we just kind of learn to live with it. Look, I keep a mask with me all the time. I'm never exactly sure when I'm going to want it or need it, but I still use it at different times. The city hall meetings are changing. We're letting a few more people get in each room so that we can get some of the public meetings more appropriately done. Though we're keeping the remote meetings going as well. We keep watching national numbers. We keep watching local numbers. I do continue to talk and meet with our experts on this. And so far, things keep looking good. Let's just keep doing what we do. I'll let you know. Just last week, we added $100. Boost to our employees who get a booster. You know, if they get the booster,
boost
just like
boost.
We've been encouraging vaccination and boosters, we're going to be doing that because that keeps everybody safe. We're at like 77% of our employees are fully vaccinated. I'm really happy about that, and we want to see that number keep growing.
And for $100, get in there and get after it. And we heard today as well, people 50 and older recommended for booster 2. That'll keep you out of the hospital, and that'll keep you out of the morgue. Those are two very important places. You do not
sign me up.
You did not want to be in those places. So let's hope BA2 or whatever variant this is just go away. Just we won't look at you. You don't look at us. Just go. We'll just pass by
just
on the street.
Slink right by.
Yeah,
just that's move it. Right by.
That's
there you
it.
Go.
It's summer's almost here. Well, let's have some fun and do this. I appreciate your time. Remind everybody again, Farmers Market this Saturday. We'll kick it off at 8 a.m. and you can come by and say hi to the mayor. What time are you going to be out there ready
I'll
to go?
I'll be there
for
around 10, I think, and Deputy Mayor will be there 10 to noon. I know that, and I'll pop in and out of that some, but. In between 10 and noon, there's a city official you can chat with if you want to.
Excellent. And I know transparency has been a big part of what you are trying to accomplish with government, and this is just another layer of it. And joining us every Tuesday is fantastic as well. Thank you so much for your time, Mayor Hamilton. And if I'm not chasing a softball around this weekend, maybe we'll pop down and say hi and see what's going on.
That'd be fun. All right. Take care.
Thank you, John.
Have a good week.
John Hamilton, the mayor, the city of Bloomington, joins us every Tuesday, and now you can see him every Saturday to voice any concerns you have about what's going on in the city. As I always tell you, if you have any questions you would like me to ask on the airwaves, I have no problem doing so. You can email me, MikeGlasgott@gmail.com. You can find me on social media. It's not hard. I'm not hiding either.